Be honest with yourself. If something happens to me right now, will I go to heaven? Your spirit man will live for eternity. It is the very thing that connects with God. The Bible says that it's deep calling on to deep. That God is spirit, and that your spirit man is the thing that connects with God. And there is no other way. The atmosphere of heaven is designed to sustain your spirit man. The moment that this is taken out of the atmosphere of God, out of His presence, your spirit man will die. And the only way that you can stand in the atmosphere of heaven is when you have a relationship with the only eternal God. It is here that you drink from the fountain of life, out of intimacy. Amen. Say the many rooms in my Father's house. And so many people do believe in heaven, and they also expect to go there. If I would go out of this place now and I go into the streets and I will ask the question to random people, will you go to heaven? They will most probably, this is the answers that you will receive, is something like this. I hope so. I think I will. I think that I stand a good chance to make it, yes. It is not often that you will find people that will say that, listen, I don't want to go to heaven. Everyone, because your spirit knows its creator. I don't care who you are, what you have done, what it is that you are caught up in. I don't care. I don't care what sin that you are caught up in. I'm telling you this morning that your spirit man is created by the hands of God and breathed to life by the Spirit of God, and it knows its creator. And that is why when you find yourself in troubling times, you find yourself on your knees, because it is here that you cry out to God. It's because the reason that is happening is because your spirit man knows the one that can save it. Intimacy with God is everything. A relationship with God is the very thing that will make you or break you. And this is the answer to the question, will I make it to heaven? Well, my answer to that question is another question. Do you have a relationship with God? How do I know that, Martin? How do I know the answer to that question? It's easy. When you go into your prayer closet, is it a two-way communication? Or is it only you bringing petitions and supplications and needs and requests, and then you get up and you walk out and you go through your day? Or do you wait after you have prayed and say, God, now I listen? What is on your agenda for today? What is your need, God? What do you need of me today? And you can sit back and you can be still and you can listen to what God says. It is when you can stand up and you know 5 years from now, this is what I will be doing. It is when you can stand up and know that this is the perfect will of God for my life. It is when you can stand up and you can walk, knowing that I walk exactly doing what God has called me to do. That is having a relationship with God. It is not just getting on your knees praying. People think that praying is merely just an act. But praying is a platform for relationship. It is in prayer that you look to God to become like God. Can you see? This is the very reason why you have spiritual senses. It's so that you can tap into all the blessings that is already existent in heaven, and to take a hold of what God has prepared for you, and to be able to take it, to redeem the time, and to bring it back into the here and to the now, and to make it manifest so that, like living water, it will start to flow from your spirit man. A relationship with God. When you walk out of the house and you feel His presence upon you, and every now and again you can't help but say, God, I love you, because you feel His presence. And you hear Him back, my son, I love you so much. And you get to work and all of a sudden you just find yourself, Lord, I worship you, I love you so much, because you feel His presence upon you. And you hear Him say, my son, I love you so much. A relationship with God. Can you hear His voice? Do you know when God speaks to you? Do you know what it sounds like? For the sheep will know the call of the shepherd. know what it sounds like. Amen. Say the many rooms in my Father's house. Now, one thing is for sure, that when we talk about living forever, that you want to make sure where it is that you are going. Because if you are wrong about heaven, you're going to be wrong for a very long time. Amen. If you're wrong about heaven, you're going to be wrong for a very long time. But I think for us here at ECC, that encounter God on a daily basis, where we encounter heaven weekly, it's not a question whether heaven is real or not. The question rather is, will I be going to heaven or not? Amen. And so you can put on the screen for me Revelation chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verse 1, and just follow with me. I'll tell you when to stop. New King James Version, please. And I'm just going to read this, because otherwise the people say that we don't read out of the Bible. But it ties up perfectly with the message prepared in any way. It speaks of John's vision of heaven and of the throne room. And it says, you guys can just follow with me. And it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, say, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Go on. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Go on. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest, say they do not rest, day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Go on. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Go on. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, and you can stop here, and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Ever said that heaven is not exciting? Can you imagine these four creatures standing here right now? People will run out. But we want to see angels. You will run out if you see an angel. There's reasons why certain things is not being revealed in certain times. Certain people is just not ready for it yet. Amen. And so what we have here is a clear picture of John having a vision. And you need to understand that he was awake when he had this vision. But the Bible says that he saw a door open in heaven, meaning his spiritual sight was activated and he could see right into eternity. And he heard with a loud voice saying, God telling him, listen, come up here, because I need to show you things to come. Meaning that, John, at the level that you are at right now, you cannot see what I want to show you. If you want to experience a higher level with me, a greater level of intimacy in my relationship with you, you're going to have to come up higher, where I can reveal something new of myself to you. But at the level where you are at currently, you will not be able to see what I want to show you, and I cannot reveal unto you what I need to reveal unto you at the level that you're at right now. You see, many believers get stuck in one room in the Father's house. They get stuck at one level and they think that this is it. This is what it's all about. This is what I experience. This must be heaven. The prayer that I come to experience and what I experience in my prayer room, that this is it. But I'm telling you that God is vast and that it will take eternity for you to get to know Him. It will take eternity for you to venture through the extents of what heaven is created of. And you've not yet touched the hem of His garment. But many think they get stuck at that one level. And they think this is it. And they stagnate. Amen. So we see this vision of John having a vision of heaven, and suddenly he's taken into eternity. And he's before the throne room. Can you imagine that? And he sees the 24 elders bowing before God, casting down their thrones, worshiping God. He sees the angelic hosts bowing before the Almighty. He sees the four creatures worshiping God every single day, without ceasing, without rest, every single day singing the same song for eternity. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Can you imagine that? 7 days a week, day in, day out, day and night, for eternity, singing the same song. No, I would be God, please. Can we do something else? Come on now. Listen, this is how listen, we have been created like this. And people that really have a relationship with God will understand what I'm about to say. Everyone that really prays in this church will have a set playlist on their phone or somewhere of your favorite worship songs. Now, these songs is compiled by when you enter into your prayer closet, and the first song is normally your best one, and that is the one when you play it, the presence of God just saturates the atmosphere. It's got an impact. Man, it is powerful. It carries weight. It just presses you right into the throne room of God, right? But after about a month, after listening that thing on the repeat, day in and day out, it loses the intensity and it loses the weight, it loses its might. And it's now old and it doesn't carry the same effect or have the same effect that it used to be. Amen? So what we tend to do is we go and find a new song. And so then I find a new worship song, I download it and I put that thing on repeat and I go on again. Come on now. 7 days a week singing the same song without ceasing for eternity. Holy. Now listen, I'm not trying to make heaven sound boring, or please don't manifest now I'm going somewhere with this, or that it is not interesting, because it is. How can it be that I can sing this song, holy, 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 and it just does not get old? You just do not get tired of it. This is the reason why. Every time that they cry out holy, God reveals a new revelation of His holiness. And then they say holy again. And then yet a new level of His holiness is revealed. And then they cry holy again. And then yet again something new of His holiness is revealed. And so every time that you cry out holy, He becomes more holy, and it stays exciting, because every time you cry it, you want to see what's going to happen next. And it stays exciting for eternity, and you can't help it but find yourself on your knees crying, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Which brings me to the excitement of prayer. I love prayer. Oh, I love spending time with God, because I never know what's going to happen next. Every day, but this is not. I can hear by the responses who is experiencing something new every day. This is not the same for everyone. Come on now. How many people get home from work and the boss have yelled at you? Everything went wrong. Your car is, I don't know, broken, and it's just a bad day. And you get home and says, yes, time for prayer. And it's like, come on, who ever felt like condemned for not praying for a while? It kind of bothers you. It's like, you know, you want to pray. It's just, God, I'm just so tired. I just can't find the energy to find myself going, putting on music, and then start with this process of where I need to break through the flesh, and then I get into the glory realm, and then it is just the same thing, and that is the problem. It is monotonous for many. Prayer is monotonous for many of you sitting here. It is not something new. It's not something you look forward to. For me, prayer is like opening a new present every day. I can't wait to see what room can I enter into next. But people get stuck in one room in the Father's house, and they think this is the whole house. But there's many rooms to be explored. But if you cannot move through the one dimension, you will not be able to see the other rooms that God has got available for you. You have to break free from that mindset of what you think prayer is and what you think a relationship with God is. Because God does not live in your box. He does not think the way that you think. Coming from a blue personality. Some will understand that. Amen. Say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And I just love you. See, many get stuck in one room, maybe in two rooms, and things become predictable for you. Come on now. Follow the same system every day. Just quickly before I get in the car, or just before I get out of the car and I need to go into the office. God, just please remember my family. Remember, I just need you today. Help me with this. I need to get this done. Can I maybe ask you just to maybe, you know, I need to pay this debt. Can you help me with this? Protect my family. I pray that you, amen. Jeez. This thing goes two sides. Just as like you don't want to sing the same song every day, God does not want to hear the same story every day. Amen. And you can't expect to move in a relationship with God if you keep it mechanical. But for many, your mindset is that prayer is just a thing that you need to do. It's prayer is where you sit on your knees, you close your hands, you close your eyes. That's not prayer. It's an action of prayer, but it's not prayer. It is a result of prayer, but it's not prayer. Prayer is a relationship. It is a hunger that draws you into a new dimension. It is a thirst and a desire that you cannot describe to any person, that screams out that there must be more than this. And the more that you receive, the more you need. The more you receive, the more you want. And all that you can find yourself saying is, God, I need you now. God, I am hungry for you now. God, one more touch. I will die if I do not have one more touch from you right now. And it's a desperation and a hunger where you refuse to leave that room until you encounter Him, until you experience something new, until you are taken into a new room, into a different room, where a different part of God is being revealed onto you. Some people are sitting looking at me like I'm mad. And it's so sad. It breaks my heart to see you like that. Listen, you can only access the vastness of the Father's house and access the various rooms available by prayer. Amen. Only by prayer. Vision. Say vision. Imagination. Say imagination. Now, there are many rooms that we can access in the Father's house, and each room is a different level of intimacy with God. And I want to share with you a few of these levels, a few rooms, and what I'm going to be doing in this morning is parables, and I'm going to be explaining by what I mean. Amen. I want to make that very clear. I'm going to be making use of parables. So I'm going to take rooms in the Father's house, and I'm going to say, this is the room in the house, and this is what it means. Okay. Please don't run out and say Martin is preaching stuff that's not in the Bible. Amen. John chapter 14, NIV version, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. And it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. And it says, my Father's house has many rooms. So there it is. It is in the Bible. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? In another translation, it actually says rooms speaks of mansions. So in God's house, there is many mansions. And that is why it's so easy to get stuck in one room. Amen. Because there's so much to explore. There's so much to experience. But many people get stuck in one place. In prayer. You guys with me? Now, many people can't wait to get to heaven, to see their mansion, to move right in. Hey, listen, I also can't wait, but listen, you need to understand that God says, His Bible says that we are seated in heavenly dimensions. That by the Spirit of God, we have been given the ability to come before the throne room with boldness. Not when you die, now. You are already within your mansion. You're waiting for something to happen that is already happening, but you can't see it. There's no vision. There's no understanding. Listen, how does this work? I love revelation. I love the Word of God. So what I will do is I will sit and I will pray and I'll be still. I've explained this before. I'm not going to go through the whole process again. Where I'll be still before God and I'll wait for His presence to come. I will wait upon Him because He's the one that needs to draw you in. Okay, and then once His presence is there, obviously I'll start to communicate according to how the flow of the Spirit goes. I don't just follow the same system where I will make petitions, and then I go into another level where God's glory is in, and I experience God's glory, and I weep, and I cry, and then another dimension where I start to repent for all my sins. No, I wait to see where the Spirit wants to go with us. Amen. And I'll physically imagine myself walking into the throne room. I'll see the doors opening up, light coming out. And I will see God stepping forward, picking me up like a father would pick up a small boy, his son. This is how I will imagine it. And I'll see the Holy Spirit taking me by my hand into another room. And this room is filled with books. And He take out one book from the shelf. And it's the Word of God. And yet the Word of God is filled with light. But when He opens it, light comes out of the light. And then all of a sudden, the words just comes over the pages and it saturates the whole room. Yes, Martin, you've got a heavy imagination. Who's not to say that is real? And then I'll see God stepping forward, showing me certain stuff in the Word of God. And how I consume and absorb His Word continually by His Spirit. How do I know this is real that I'm seeing? Yes, I'm imagining it. But how do I know that what I see is of God and is real? How do I know? Because I've got the mind of Christ. And so the first room I need to close off. Excuse me, is room one. You can make note of this. This is the living room. And things that you will find in the living room is normally a TV, a couch, right? And this is the place where you come in to make petition. This is the room of supplication. This is about your needs, your wants. And this is where you will pray for the call of God upon your life. This is where you will start to pray for whatever it is that you need. It is here that you will bring it before God. The Word says that, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It is here that you place your burdens upon God. It is here that you lay to rest whatever it is that it is that you are facing, whatever circumstance it is that you are facing. It is here that you leave it at God's feet in this room. Amen. And so there's a TV that's playing with advertisements showing all the blessings of God. And we're sitting on this couch listening and seeing all these visions of God. But we never move out of this room and move into those visions. And we never move into those blessings. We get stuck in this room and stay there. And you get out of prayer, you go through your day. The next day you get back up again and you bring supplications again. God, I need this, 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 and this. And you've got this list and it's always the same thing. You get up and you walk out. The next day, the same thing. You get into the room, supplication. Come on now. I know this is how people think and work. And you get stuck in this one level. And your relationship with God is not a relationship. It is no monotonous mechanical thing. Amen. Nonetheless, this is a room in the Father's house, and it is a good room because it is a time and a place. He is still your Father, and He wants the best for you. And although He knows exactly what it is that you need even before you're asking it, the Bible says He knows exactly what it is. He knows exactly what you're going to ask before you ask it. Nonetheless, it is a room in His house for your own sanity's sake that you can come to and say, Lord, I need this, and I'm praying for this, this, and this. It is a good room, but don't stay there. Amen. It is the very first level that you enter into in prayer, where it's all about yourself. Yeah, you're still proud of a carnal, fleshly state. Amen. Room number two, the kitchen. In this room, we serve God. It is the room of ministry. It is in this room where we do things for God. This is where you give service to the body of Christ. Amen. Here you labor in prayer. It is here that you start to intercede for people. It is here that the Holy Spirit, where you pray in the Spirit, in other tongues, that the Holy Spirit steps in and He starts to intercede through you, the perfect will of God for your life. It is here that you take on yourself something else that someone else is carrying that they are unable to pray through. You take it upon yourself, you stand in that gap and you water through, meaning you labor in prayer. It is warfare on your knees. You will feel the fire of God in this room. You will feel on your knees that you're sweating. It is a warfare, it's a breakthrough level. You will feel that your mind is all over the show when you start to intercede, especially for someone else. Because you're busy battling against the forces of darkness. For we do not battle or stand against flesh or against blood, but against the principalities of this dark and evil world. And we cannot ignore this fact that there's a level in prayer that you will be resisted. Amen. And so many prayers is not being answered, and many people will say, but I intercede and nothing is happening. Why is my prayers not being heard? It's because you can't pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, it is the only type of prayer that the enemy cannot intercept. But he cannot take up because he does not understand the word that you are saying. But when you pray in your own spirit, the enemy knows exactly what you're busy planning and where you're sending your prayers. He intercepts and he steals it. That is why in the book of Daniel, Daniel had to fast and pray for 21 days. And the angels had to battle through the principalities of darkness to bring back the answer, because they could not yet pray in the spirits. He did not have that direct link like we have it today, and yet we take it for granted. He had to ward it through. Can you imagine if you have given up on day 15? Oh well, nothing is happening. I'm praying for 15 days, fasting, I'm hungry. No, stop this. The children of Israel would not have been redeemed if you have stopped at day 15. Do you know what he fasted for? Do you know? Many people know that Daniel's fasted 21 days, but what did he actually fast for? 400 years earlier, there was a prophecy released that the children of Israel will be going bondage for 400 years. But that there will come a time that the Redeemer will send someone to set them free. And they've forgotten about it. And somehow you've gotten a hold of these scrolls. And he saw that, listen, hey, it's actually more than 400 years later. We should have been redeemed already. And And he started to fast and he started to pray, hoping that it's not too late, hoping that I've not missed it, hoping that I've not missed a call. Oh God, I hope that you're still there. The word of God went quiet for years. Prophets didn't speak anymore. And he was hoping that, listen, I hope this is not too late. 21 days later, that word and that answer comes back. And Israel was restored. Amen. Room number 3, the dining room. Now you'll find in king's palaces, when you walk in, that there is a large, a big table that can seat hundreds of people. And on the one edge, you will find, on the left-hand side, you will find a throne seat. And Jesus is sitting there. And on the other side, on the right-hand side, far end, you will find another throne seat. And this room you get invited into. You are embraced into this room. And they will ask you to come and sit on the other side. And as you look up, you see Christ. Here you will be served with honey, with living bread, with meat. And these all represent the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. This is a room of fellowship. It is around this table that things get serious and intimate. It is here that you will, like in a family setting, start to discuss serious matters that is not for everyone's ears. Here the relationship goes into a more intimate level where you learn more about the Father's heart and what is needed in your life and how you can accomplish what it is that He needs from you. This is a room of encounter. It is a room of experience. Amen. Are you guys with me? I don't know, maybe this is bad. Here you will find wine, which is the new wine of the Holy Spirit. This is a room of manifestation. It is a room of revival. It is the room of renewal. The Bible says that, listen, I am the fountain of life. It is here that you keep on drinking and your spirit man gets refreshed and restored and resuscitated and healed, upliftment, and gets taken into a different dimension. You have to go through this room before you can go into the room of revelation. Amen. The problem is many people rush into the living room and they throw out their prayers of supplication and their new needs, and then they rush out, they go into the dining room, they encounter God and they go out. And they think that this is it. This is how it should be. This is the formula. Understand that once you have entered a certain room, that it is easy to go back there because now you've encountered it. And so they will rush back into the living room, make prayer and supplication. I need this, this, and this. Rush out, rush into the dining room, and they will encounter God and they go on. And it stops there. They never leave these two rooms. And your relationship with God lags behind. Because many people get so caught up doing the works of God that they miss God. The enemy will cause you to do things that looks even right, but you're missing the mark. The Bible says that you will come to me. And you will say that you have casted out demons. Lord, I have casted out demons in your name. I have preached in your name. I have healed in your name. And God says that I will say that I did not know you. Be careful not to get so caught up busy with the things of God. Get up caught up in one room that you completely miss Him. There is so much more to experience. To the vastness, to His greatness, to His splendor, and to His honor. That I cannot even describe in words. Amen. It needs to be exciting. Every day, every moment needs to be new. Where you connect with Him spirit to spirit. And you say, God, here I am. And you hear Him loud, loud. Hello, my son. I have missed you. How are you? I'm doing very well, Lord. How are you? God is more real to me than any one of you sitting in front of me. His eternity. His material things will come and go. It means nothing, absolutely nothing to me. It carries no value. But my relationship with Him carries value and simply cannot be neglected. I hope that I'm speaking to someone here in this day. If I can get you to spend time with God, if I can get you into a relationship with God, I have accomplished a great thing. When I first encountered God and I saw my father, Prophet Leon, standing before me, I just, the thing that came up in me is, Lord, I wonder what is upon this man's life. Why, Martin? Because, Lord, if I can do what he can do and stir up a holy hunger in people, then it means that I can get people into a relationship with you. Martin, then you have accomplished a great task indeed. And that is my heart. Amen. Room number four, the treasure room, and this is my last one. This is the Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2 room. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. This is the room of knowledge where you gain understanding and revelation and new levels about God Himself. Here the eyes of your understanding becomes enlightened as you hear God's word. This room is filled with pure, holy light. Now yes, the kingdom of God and the entirety thereof is already filled with light because it's filled with the glory of God. But in this room, there's light coming out of the light because this is a room filled with revelation. And when you move in the revelation, you move in light. Amen. Here you gain understanding and revelation of God Himself about His Word. Here the written Word of God becomes the Rhema spoken Word of God in your life. You have to go through the dining room before you can come into the treasure room. Because it's while you're drinking from the fountain of life in fellowship with Christ Jesus that you will suddenly be taken into this room. And God will renew and reveal something new about Himself. Light. You will move in a different level of light. Amen. Put on the screen for me. I want to show you this because many believers moves in either one of two types of light. And we should move in both. Psalm chapter 36 verse 9, King James Version. Psalms chapter 36 verse 9. Now listen to this. It says, For with thee is the fountain of life. Say, fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Wow. That does not make sense at all. In thy light we shall see light. What does this mean? We speak of two different types of light. And thy light is what we call fortizo type of light. It is an inward light. It is a light that shines on the inside of you. And then we shall see light is panello. It means an outward light. It means a light that goes before you. Meaning that you can have a light that shines and go before you, but there's still darkness inside. What do I mean? Let me use an example. When you're driving a car at night, the car is dark inside, right? But your headlights are on. So there's light going before you, but still it's dark inside of the car. And so when you need revelation and understanding of something that's in the car, you need to find something. You can't because it's dark. So how do you find it? You switch on the headlight inside of the car. Yet many people do not have that light on. What is an outward light? This light that goes forth, this panello light, is where you minister to people. You go out into the world, you minister the gospel, you preach to people, you say, hey, do you know Christ Jesus? You cast out demons. You heal the sick. You speak in other tongues. Yet there's no relationship. But light goes forth because God will always protect His word. But there's nothing inside. When you get home, there's an emptiness. Something is lacking and your heart cries out, but listen, there's got to be more than this. And the moment you step into a relationship with God, this is the other reality that many believers move in, is that they've got a relationship with God, there's inward light. We which comes by revelation of Christ Jesus. But there's no light coming forth, meaning you do not go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, and speak in other tongues. So you do carry light inside, but that light's not coming out, it's not going forth. It is best to be moving both. That you move in the relationship with God, carry that light in the inside of you, and also go out and demonstrate kingdom power, raise the dead, heal the sick, speak in new tongues, casting out of demons. Listen, this is the great command. This is the very great command that have been given us. Amen. Two lights. This morning I want to encourage you. I'm done. And I just ask everyone to stand with me. I want to encourage you. Don't stagnate. Still standing water is not healthy. The Bible says that you are a well. And it says, stir up a well. Man, I want to tell you that you are filled with living water, but that well needs to be stirred. And the only way that you're going to stir that well is by gaining and stepping into an intimate relationship with the true living Almighty God, where you seek Him day in and day out, without seeking and without rest. But it is not a monotonous seeking. It is not a stagnated place that you've reached. It is out of a hunger and out of a desperation where you can walk and say, you know what I've just experienced? Man, I've just seen something new about God. I want to know more. And you go back into your prayer closet until something else happens. And you come out, man, I've just experienced something else. Come on, have you ever experienced when you open the Bible and you read the Word of God and suddenly something comes out of the Word that is not written and you think to yourself, wow, it's happening. It's like opening a present. No one have taught you this. No one have, you did not hear it from any preacher or any sermon. It is a revelation that has been revealed to you from without heaven. And you think to yourself, wow, I need to tell someone. And you run out. And because it's a revelation of heaven, the first ear that you speak to will change. Because it's the Word of God. And you can't wait to get back because now it's exciting. And you read on again a few passages later, something else jumps out. And you say, hey, what is this? I can see who actually moves in this and who not. And I want to encourage you this day to really get in a relationship with God. Pursue Him with all that is within you. Come to a place where you refuse to give up, where you refuse to give in, and where you refuse to get out, and where you refuse to live or lose energy because of the lies, the deceptions, and the suggestions of that of the enemy. But where you stand up and say that I will not stop, I will not give up, that I will continue, come hell or high water, I will press through. But God, I am hungry for more of you, and I will not leave until I know you better. God, I want to know you. God, I love you. I need to know you. Lord, I want an intimate relationship with you. God, I'm crying out to you here right now, and I pray that you will answer my prayer. For I'm broken, and I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty for all that is of you. I guarantee you that He will not pass you by. For a broken heart and a contrite spirit, these are the sacrifices that are pleasing unto Him. Fire cannot be released. You can seek it as long as you want, but fire will not and cannot be released unless there's a sacrifice. I want to encourage you. Seek Him. So, this is not something I can do for you. Get hungry for God. Get thirsty for more of His Word. Break out of that monotonous mechanical system that you've been caught up in. Break free from it. And say, today I'm going to do it different. Break that law. Break that religious thing upon your life. And say, today I'm going to do it different. If you have forced yourself to pray, for example, 3 hours a day, it is law. It's a law that you have placed in. It's not of God. It's not bad to pray 3 hours a day, but it needs to be instigated by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be led by the Spirit of God. If it becomes a monotonous mechanical thing, it is not of Him and it's not of God. So stand up the one day and say, today I'm not going to pray for 3 hours. Today I'm just going to sing. Today I'm just going to worship God because I love you. even if I don't feel like it. I don't care what my thought says, I will go according to my heart. My heart wants to worship. Tonight I'm just going to worship. And you do that. And if you then you pray. Amen. Just close your eyes. Raise your hands to heaven. Father, I pray that by the authority that you have placed in my words, even in this morning, that in the name of Christ Jesus, that higher levels, doors leading to higher levels and dimensions, be opened up even in this day, in the lives of every individual that is standing on this ground. Father, I pray that you will take every person here in this morning higher, and that you will reveal more of yourself in days to come. Father, I pray that by your revelation, by understanding, that you will teach us on how to seek you, how to build this intimate relationship with you, Father God, for this is our hearts. We love you, we need you, and even now by my words, Father, I pray that it will be carried by the weight of your glory, that a fresh fire and a hunger will rest upon the people of this church. A hunger for more of your word, a desperation for more of you in their lives, where they refuse to give up until they have encountered you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will meet with us every single day, and every day you will reveal a new part of you. Lord, we love you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ.